Thank you for being here this morning. We have a special day today. Normally, it's not always, but our first Sunday of January, we have what we call Vision Sunday. That is where I have prayed over the past several months. Usually I start even praying around July, August about the theme for the coming year. And as I prayed and asked, I pray specifically, Lord, help us to have a theme as a church where we can really focus on as one that will help guide our hearts in the coming year. We all need to focus on all God's truth, no doubt about it. And we don't need to neglect any of God's truth. But I do believe there's something to be said about God having a specific truth for His church to dwell upon for that particular season. And so this past year, well, we went through the book of Nehemiah, and doing a great work was our theme. And God did indeed do a great work in our lives. And He's doing a great work. I'm thankful that the work doesn't stop, aren't you? And it continues. And so we rejoice in all that the Lord did as we studied and preached and learned and responded through the book of Nehemiah and the year that God gave us, going through the book of Romans continuously. And now we come upon 2025. And we have another theme to focus upon that I believe the Holy Spirit has led Crooked Creek Baptist Church to give some special emphasis to. And that is going to be found in Psalm 91. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 91. As I prepare to reveal the theme, we're going to read this passage and then I'll share the 2025 theme with you and make a few comments, and then we'll also have a song that goes with our theme. Every year, Noel writes a song for our church, and really appreciate that, and we have one for this year as well, of course. And so we'll pass the sheets out after we reveal the theme, and so you can see the notation if that's your desire. You say, I can't read music. We'll just pretend it'll be all right. We'll have the words up on the screen as well. But we just want for all our hearts to be just connected together in one accord around this truth. Psalm 91, if you're there, would you say amen? Amen. All right, Psalm 91. The Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I am grateful for just a sweet time here as a church family and to worship you this Sunday morning as we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He is alive. He's on the throne. He's ruling and He is reigning. And as your church, Lord, we want to love and honor you. I pray that this theme would bring glory to your name as we focus upon it. I pray that you'd use it in each of our hearts, our families, our church, in a very special, special way. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do now as we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 91 is a very encouraging psalm. It is powerful. In fact, some have considered this a writing of Moses, even though it does not indicate that, just because many times if Jewish, especially theologians in the past have said if there's no title above the psalm of indicating who was the writer, go with the psalm before. That's not necessarily a foolproof way, but it does give an indication that it could have been Moses. It could have very well been David. But nevertheless, whoever the writer is giving recognition to how almighty and great and wonderful God really is. In fact, it's encouraging because it's in the face of difficult times. It's in the face of troublesome times. It's in the face of concerning times. It's in the face of great adversity and obstacles and something that we all can relate with in each of our lives. We're all facing those types of things in various ways, various seasons, and a psalm that is to minister to our hearts. And I'm very grateful for what we find here. But there's one statement that pops out to me in this that is really foundational in being able to have the presence of God. And that is going to be found there in verse number 4. I'm sorry, verse number 2. He says here, as for he dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is what the writer says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And would you say those four words with me? In Him will I trust. Or is that five? That's five. Let's say it together again. In Him will I trust. One more time. In Him will I trust. That's the theme for 2025. It's in Him that we will trust. The psalmist goes on and on throughout the Psalms. In fact, we'll note that even over 50 times the psalmist gives attention to how important it is for the child of God to trust God at all times. I'm so thankful that God is worthy to be trusted. Our heart is fixed on Him because we can trust Him. In just a moment, I'll open with an illustration that many of you perhaps are familiar with. Maybe you've heard the book called The Hiding Place. If you've personally read that book before, do you mind raising your hand just to get, okay, maybe close to half of you, written by Corrie ten Boom. And she gives the testimony in that book of how God used her family in the face of great adversity and cruelty and opposition against the Jewish people there in the Netherlands. And her father, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his two daughters, which is Corey and her sister, Betsy, they were used of the Lord to hide Jewish refugees and those that were in resistance to the Nazi regime. Hitler and those that were seeking to take over those people. And even again, we know for sure the cruelty that they directed towards specifically the Jewish people. Well, Corrie ten Boom and her family were God-fearing people, and they made their home a hiding place. specifically for the Jews that were escaping and fleeing for their lives. And it was through that time that there was someone that, of course, got in the, on the inside of that operation of hiding the Jews and from being taken, and they were found out. And of course, her father, who was 84 years old, only lasted a couple weeks, and he passed away. God-fearing man, gave his life for the sake of others. And then, of course, Corey and her sister Betsy were taken to concentration camp, together. And her sister would end up passing away, but Corey survived miraculously. But the story goes as she had a heart to provide a place of escape. A place, remember this word, it's very important, a place of safety. A safe place. Because she believed that that's what God provided for us and has provided for us. And she in return knew that it was God's calling on their life to do everything they could to preserve and save their lives. And God used Corey's testimony for many years. She's in heaven now. She passed away in the 80s. But her testimony moves on. And that word, the hiding place, is used in the Word of God. You'll find it in Psalm 32:7, Psalm 119. But it's interesting. The same Hebrew word for the hiding place is the same Hebrew word used for the secret place. I find that very interesting because what the secret place and the hiding place represents is God Himself. It's God that we find as a refuge. It's God that we hide in. It's the Lord that we run to. He is our shelter. He is our fortress. He alone is the one that we abide under. And in order for us to experience that presence, we have to make a decision, each of us, every day of our lives, that we're going to trust Him. Notice the word will there. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's your own volition. No one can make you. No one can do it for you. You and I must trust daily that God is a refuge. He is for us and not against us. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that we'll be encouraged as we dive into the Word of God here in just a moment and to look at that specifically, what that can mean for each of us, even in the coming year when we have no idea what we're facing. Everybody in this room is trusting the Lord for something. This morning, you're trusting Him to provide in some way. You're trusting Him to meet a need. You're trusting Him to intervene. You're trusting Him in some way. Oh, may God be glorified as we trust Him. I've asked Brother Mike to lead us in this song. We'll go ahead and ask the ushers to come on forward, and they'll walk forward, and then if you guys will come first to the front here and work your way back. We're going to hand out the song sheets that the theme song that goes with this year's theme, and may it be an encouragement to you. All right, Brother Mike, you come.
All right, as the men pass these out, I'm going to ask Noel and the ladies, Miss Cade, to play through the song, and as you get it, just kind of start reading along. We'll play through it once, and then we'll sing it. Thank you. you stand with me, if you would. It's just a great song. It's a great reminder of what Pastor just said, that the Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, He will lead us through. All He asks is that we trust in Him. So let's sing out, I Will Trust in Him.
The Lord, my refuge, fortress sure, the rock to whom I run. For in the shadow of His wings, He keeps me from all harm. Though in the valley I must walk, He leads me safely through. He will answer when I call, He's always good. My rock and my redeemer, my shelter in the storm. My soul cries out to the one who saves, and I will trust in Him. And I will trust again in Him.
All right, let's sing through that one again.
My Lord, my refuge, fortress sure, the rock to whom I run. For in the shadow of His wings, He keeps me from all harm. Though in the valley I must walk, He leads me safely through. He will answer when I call, His always good. My rock and my redeemer, my shelter in the storm. My soul cries out to the one who saves, and I will trust in Him. And I will trust in Him.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
That's what we're going to do. And it always, that first day of singing the song, it's going to take us a while to get used to it. But boy, by next month, March, April, we start getting it down. And I know it's going to be a great blessing. All right, well, this time, we do have our young people that need to be dismissed. And so we have junior church and preschool church can be dismissed now. And you followed there to the back with Mr. West, Ms. Ashley. All right, you go ahead. That's all the way through fourth grade, preschool, all the way up through fourth grade, children's church. You're more than welcome to go if you're visiting with us here today. They're in good hands there. The rest of you, just stay right there in Psalm 91 is where we'll be. Psalm 91. It'll be a great group of young people. What an encouragement it is. Let's see the young people excited about church. Thank you, parents, for being faithful to bring your kids to church. I just commend you on that. It's not always easy. I find many times, sometimes Sunday mornings can be the toughest, getting kids ready, trying to get everybody on track, and we'll just trust the Lord with that. Psalm 91, as I mentioned already, there's something very special about the secret place. Now, that's not, when we say secret, it's not the idea that it's hidden, hard to find, in the sense, spiritually speaking, with the Lord. When we speak of the secret place here, or the hiding place, it's that special place where only God's children can go. Only God's children can go there. It's unique. And though, unfortunately, as I mentioned with the Ten Booms, their operation was found out, and they suffered those consequences. The Nazis came in and broke it all up. But I want to tell you some good news here this morning when it comes to God's hiding place. When it comes to God's secret place, no one can break through.
No one can break in. No one can interrupt God's hiding place. The secret place. The place where each of His children can abide. And not just can abide, but it's clear in the Bible we should abide. It's a decision that we make every day in a cruel world we live in. And I want to tell you, it's a cruel world out there. It's all because of the prince of the power of air, Satan, who's ruling this world system and opposing God and His people. And we understand that there are days and months and years where it is certainly seemingly insurmountable. It's seemingly we can't overcome. But I want to tell you, I have good news from the Word of God. We can. But you must and I must know the secret place. You say, well, how do I get there, Pastor? How do we get to the secret place? I got some more good news for you. I like good news. It's easy to get there. But it will take a decision on your part that will go against yourself. It'll go against the world. But it's this. It's the place of trusting. It's trusting. I wish I could describe it, but I feel like I'm just so limited. But trusting the Lord is such a safe place that nobody can get to take that away from you. It's so special. That abiding place where, again, any of His children can go. And if you're here this morning and you're looking for peace, you're looking for a refuge, you don't know whether or not you're going to heaven when you die or going to hell when you die. You don't know. And there's a lot of things going on in your mind. I want to tell you, you're here in a place where you can hear the good news, and that is that God died for you. And you can trust in Him as your Savior. He will save you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, He will save you if you will come to Him as you are and put your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you will have a refuge. Then you will have a fortress. Then you can hide and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm grateful that our Lord watches over us. I'm thankful I can trust Him. He is the Almighty. Notice the shadow of the Almighty. There's none higher than God Almighty. He's the one that I can trust. He's the one I can rest in. I can depend upon. And I just want to rejoice in Him. A description of a hiding place. Even there, as I gave the illustration, it was built to help people know that they are cared for and that they are safe. It serves as a haven, if you will, especially in the light of attacks from the enemy. And even he's alluded to several times in this passage. I believe he's speaking about the wicked one in Psalm 91, the one who seeks to bring terror by night. He walketh in darkness for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And that the enemy is seeking to hurt and harm us and harm our church. But I want to tell you, we have a safe place. It's in Him will I trust. It's a place that, if I can say it this way, a place where we are untouchable from the enemy. Now, he can bark from the outside. He can make a lot of noise, no doubt about it. But I am under the care of the Almighty. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean that I am not going to experience sorrow and hardships. It doesn't mean any of that. But what this simply means is that there is an overwhelming, undeniable peace that comes with the presence of God. I've heard it said before, peace is not the absence of trouble, it is the presence of God. And we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and God will protect us and walk us through any trial that you can imagine. Any difficulty under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place of safety. And by the way, it's a place of resistance. There with Corrie Ten Boom and the Jews Win and those that were working in that operation, there was a great resistance there in the Netherlands. And that place was symbolic of resistance. And when I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, it is a resistance against the enemy. It is a rebellion against the enemy trying to harm me and hurt me and crush me and destroy me. It is a symbolic of resistance. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So many hearts today, including God's people, are filled with fear. I may be speaking to you today, and some of you today, there's a great dread. You're living dreadfully because of fear. You're afraid. There's a fear of where the future will take us. What's ahead? There's a fear of losing health. There's a fear of losing wealth. There's a fear of losing a loved one. There's the fear of the unknown. There's a fear of missing out. There's a fear of being forgotten. There's so many things that try to rob us of the secret place where we're trusting God. And the statement was made at one point that, and I believe it was, I believe it was FDR that made it. And by the way, I'm not being critical. He meant well when he said it. And when he said it in the right context. But he made this statement that wasn't exactly accurate. He said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. I understand what he was saying there. He's talking about cowering to the enemy. But in the context of that being a blanket statement, it's just inaccurate, because I thank God there are some things to fear. I'm thankful. Hey, you better fear rattlesnakes. There's some things that we need to fear. We need to fear tornadoes. Tornado coming. I believe that's a time to run and hide. Amen. Now, if you're one of those weird storm chasers, there's no hope for you, okay? Now, there are things to fear that God built into us. We were just down at Pensacola for the week of Christmas, and a couple of the days they had the big red flag out as you enter into the beach, indicating that the riptide was so dangerous there was no swimming allowed. That should strike fear in someone's heart and mind. That's a healthy fear, okay? There are healthy fears out there. But I want you to know that when we understand, as God's children, as we go through hardships in life and challenges and unknowns, I want to tell you, there is nothing to fear. We can trust Him. If we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and again, that's nothing, some special formula that you got to sign up for and got to take courses on. In fact, if you're going to say course, the only courses you're going to take is the opportunities to exercise it. No, it's simply the place of trusting Him with your life. I'm trusting God. Some live dreadfully, again, about their health. You know, some live in fear of a terminal disease being in their body. Some have these things in their mind, and they live in a constant state of anxiety about others, and there's a fear there. And what is missing there, I'm telling you, is a trust in God. I don't know. I'm not trying to sound morbid or anything, but the likelihood of cancer abiding in this room is very high. in some way. It could be in my body. But I don't have to fear about my life because my times are in the hands of God. Now, I'm not promoting carelessness at all. That's dumb. We should go and do medical checkups. We should have tests run. We absolutely should. And take care of ourselves. That's important. But this constant fear of how am I going to die, or do I have cancer, or am I going to have a heart attack, and or what about my loved one, this and that. There is an absence of trusting the sovereign King. And I believe that when we find that we can start exercising, God, I'm just going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with my health. I'm going to trust you with my bank account. I'm going to trust you with my vehicle. I'm going to trust you with my family, my children. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with that wayward child. I'm going to trust you to deliver from that besetting sin. I'm going to simply trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you to give wisdom. I'm going to trust you in times of poverty. I'm going to trust you in times of sickness. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to go to the hiding place. I'm going to go to the secret place. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, knowing that you will watch over me. Those that I mentioned here today, another healthy fear is the fear of hell. That's a healthy fear. If you're not saved here, I hope there is a real, real holy fear in your heart. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, that's where you will be, tragically. You should fear that. I believe one preacher said, I'd rather, because he was being critiqued, oh, preacher, you always, you know, talking about this thing about hell. And his response was accurate. He said, if I had a choice, he says, I would rather scare people into heaven than lull people into hell. There should be a healthy fear there for those that are lost. If you're here without Christ, God loves you. He died for you. He doesn't want you going to a place called hell. Jesus Christ shed his blood and he cried out, Father! Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was you, that was me, that he had in mind. I hope you'll put your trust in Christ, and then you will be safe. You will have a safe place for all eternity, but not only in eternity, but here on earth with God's children. Let me share a couple verses with you. I'll throw them up on the overhead so you can see them. Psalm 32:7. Says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Let me give you another one here. 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield. And the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior, Thou savest me from violence. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. There it is. And I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. You see, the theme there is the psalmist, when he was able to trust the Lord, he had a song in his heart. There are many other scriptures that I would love to mention. In fact, I will probably mention some more tonight in tonight's service as we think about trusting the Lord. But in closing, let me draw your attention to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, would you go just to the right there? And you'll go to Isaiah. You keep going till you hit Isaiah. And then you'll run right into Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, notice with me please, beginning in verse number 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert." It's like a shrub there, a bare shrub in the desert. "And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." You see the barrenness that is speaking of? But notice the opposite. Verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he," listen to this description, "shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Notice verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." I find it so interesting here that Jeremiah paints two pictures. He paints a picture of the distrusting man, the man who doubts and does not trust the Lord, and speaks of barrenness, desolation. He speaks of a really a sad picture of no life. But then, I love verse 7 and 8, because then he paints the picture of the trusting man or woman, boy or girl. "The one that trusteth in the Lord and his hope is in the Lord, he is like a tree by the river of waters." So the question here this morning that we probably all need to ask ourselves, which one am I? Am I the one that's just barren, unfruitful? I'm not trusting God to guide me. I'm not trusting His way as being the best way. I'm going my way. And by the way, some people say that anxiety, worry is the only way we don't trust God. No, disobedience is not trusting God. When we choose our own way, we're basically saying, "God, I don't trust your way. My way's better." But when we trust the Lord, I'm telling you, He puts His hand upon us and we abide in that secret place, in that wonderful pavilion of hope and peace and safety. There's an encouragement there that only God gives. But I found it interesting, and I never had put this together, folks, and this is where I'm going to close with. I had never put Jeremiah 17:9 in the context that it's in. I always used it, and it's true. You could use it in witnessing about how naturally man is sinful. And it's true. But I had never connected the context. The context is those that doubt God and do their own thing. You take on your own troubles. You try to figure everything out. You try to scheme. Those of you that read through the book of Genesis or even attempted to read through it, you could see people scheming. They weren't trusting God. Abraham and Sarah weren't trusting God. Jacob wasn't trusting God. I mean, the brothers there, of Joseph, they weren't trusting God. But then there were some that were trusting God. There was Noah. He trusted God. There was Abraham, when he did take those steps of maturity, he started trusting God. Even Sarah started trusting God. Joseph, when in the pit, he was trusting God. In the palace, he was trusting God. And finally, Jacob had to come to that place, even though he was a deceiver, a schemer, a supplanter. Most of his life, he came to the end of his life, and he had to trust God. Which one are we? I don't want to be a schemer. Faith is without scheming. Trusting God is without scheming. It's walking, yes, being active and seeking to honor the Lord, doing my part. But folks, I don't have to do God's part. I can trust Him to do His part. He can change the heart. I cannot. And you pray for me and I'm praying for you. I want 2025 to represent a year where it's a turning point in my life where I really have a renewal in trusting the Lord. And stop insulting Him by me worrying or me doing it my way or me trying to manipulate or me trying to scheme or me trying to get disgruntled because it's not going my way. And I feel and I accuse Him in my heart of being late. I accuse Him in my heart of being asleep. I accuse Him in my heart of not caring. I accuse Him in my heart. I may not say it out loud, but in my heart, that's the way I'm acting. I don't want to be that way. I want to say, in Him will I trust. Let's pray.